beat machines, all that shit. I've just been always like in with music too. So it's crazy that like my clientele kind of went that way. But I feel like because I'm so like tied in myself,
so
I feel
naturally
like it just kind of gravitated because I feel like I really like relate to how their hustle is, because it's the same shit. Like, we're artists, so like, it's not ever guaranteed. You kind of got to get it, you know what right. I mean? Like, it's not something we clock in and fucking we do X amount of hours and then in 2 weeks we get paid.
Right.
It's literally, we can go 2 weeks and fucking eat dick. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. Straight up, it's yeah, all it's on crazy. What you do, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's yeah. like, you can make a lot of money, you can barely get by, you can fucking change other people's lives. It's just a lot of shit, you know what I mean?
Right. Like,
it's a lot of stuff.
What's good, y'all? Your boy Brandon back again. Another episode of the On Run Podcast, man. This week, we got Sick One Tattoos, man. Owner of the Sick Tattoo Shop. What's going on, my man?
What's good? What's good?
I appreciate you coming on the platform.
Yeah, good.
I saw your profile on Instagram, man. I like your work. And I decided to hit you up just because on our platform, we like to tell stories, especially about people that are in Vegas right now.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to be from Vegas. But everybody that's out here hustling, that's out here grinding, whether that's creatives, entrepreneurs, content creators, we like to break those stories down. So I appreciate you coming on and giving us your time.
Shit, thank you for having me, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So right off the top, obviously you do tattoos. What's the worst tattoo you've ever done?
Shit, the worst tattoo I've ever done. Fuck. When you say worst, like... that I did, or that like someone was like, hey, I want to get this shit done type shit.
Let's do both. Starting with the worst one that you did.
I wouldn't say worst, but like when I started out in Southern California in the city of La Puente, and one of my homies, or one of my brother's homies, he was from the hood in that area, so like he let me do a LP, which if you live out there, you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like how the LV kind of is, but, you know, a little bit different. So he let me do that shit, and I'm pretty sure I fucked it up, but it's just crazy because he let me do it when I was just barely learning. But I would say that was one of the ones that was pretty bad.
For sure.
Yeah.
What about the worst one that someone came in and asked for, but you were like, nah, I can't do that?
That I can do, like, I won't do no stupid shit like swastikas or fucking just racist ass shit.
Yeah.
But I did, you know, the logo for Cadillac. It's like in like a cursive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did that above the lip, and it's crazy because he ended up going back to prison for that shit. I had told him too. I was like, "Fuck, are you sure you want to do this shit?" And he was like, "Yeah, nah, we should be good. We should be good." And sure enough, like, I guess he got violated for that shit because I guess it was a hood that he's from or some shit. And
he was on parole or something?
Something, because they took his ass right back.
Damn. So they fucking locked him up for a tattoo.
Yeah, it'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah. Though. Damn, that's crazy. What about, like, the worst locations? Because obviously people be getting crazy ass tattoos. Or, like, the worst tattoo trends that you've seen. Because you're an artist, so you're obviously on the other side. We as people, right, we be seeing, like, obviously hairstyles go in and out of style.
Yeah.
Like, clothes, sneakers go in and out of style. But what about tattoos? What's the worst trends?
Oh, man, I'm probably going to hurt some people's feelings. But, like, tribal, that to me, that shit just is, like, a generic ass shit. I don't know, like... Polynesian tribe was different because I feel like that has more culture to it, and there's
especially
like,
if you're from there, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And there's like meaning, and there's, you know, certain symbols mean certain things, so it holds more weight. But like a straight up, you know, tribal that you see just all black with the little, you know, the spikes to them or all that shit. Dang. I feel like that was just like a little era, you know what I mean? Like, no one really gets it now, but
there's some frat boys out there with a tribal tattoo right now, mad sure. as hell at you.
For sure. Or just like fucking meathead goons too. Like,
yeah.
A lot of them fools be on that shit too, just to kind of like, I guess, look tough, but I don't know.
For sure. But obviously you had to start somewhere. You don't just, you know, wake up and run a tattoo shop and tattoo celebrities and collaborate with a bunch of artists.
Yeah.
Where did you start? You obviously mentioned SoCal. You mentioned being from San Gabriel Valley.
So I grew up in Southern California in the San Gabriel Valley, the city of La Puente. So I basically, you know, before tattooing, I was welding, fabricating. I did that for a little minute. And then I started getting into the tattooing, started tattooing a couple homies. And I pretty quick I figured, you know, I could learn this shit and get good at it, because I come from a background of just being an artist since like fucking kindergarten, you know what I mean? So I always had it in me. My brother as well, we just had that shit from jump, you know what I mean? So
before we get to, like, obviously you do welding and all that stuff, what about family background?
My mom and dad are from El Salvador.
El Salvador. Yeah. Okay. So, what was it? Are you first generation?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was it like growing up? Because obviously I feel like, depending on, like, your family background, tattoos are often, like, looked down on.
Yeah, so my mom is super religious, so she kind of, I don't know, she learned to, like, accept it because she's seen, like, what it did to my life. But I feel like even to this day, if I could stop tattooing and do something else, she'd be all for it. For real.
As much success as you had, she would still prefer you doing something else.
Yeah, because she just, you know, like I said, she's religious, so to her, you know, it's not it, but she's learned to accept it, and she knows that I was able to do something with it that was, like, above average, you know what I mean? So she realized, you know, he basically, like, I turned it up, so she was like, all right, I guess, like, she accepts it, but I know at the end of the day, she would probably want me doing something else.
For sure. And obviously you mentioned since a little kid you were drawing, you were into art. So when did you discover, like, when you weren't painting the sun in the corner of the paper, or, like, when did you discover you was good at art as a kid?
Shit, you know what? It's crazy because I really never seen it like that. Like, I was just drawing. And then I think, like, a counselor or somebody had told my mom, like, hey, you know, you got to put them in art school or something because they're going to be, you know, they're going to do something with this. So I feel like once I was told, like, or told by, like, a teacher or somebody that I was good, then I realized, like, oh, shit, like, I didn't, because, you know what I mean, you're a kid, you don't know. You're doing your thing, you know what I mean? Like, and it just happened. And then once I knew that, I guess I was at least decent, I felt like I just would do it more and more. And then throughout, like, elementary, I would, like, enter, like, art contests. I won a couple savings bonds. Just rant, like, I would just do, there was one for, like, the water district. I won, I think, some money for that shit too.
Damn.
So, like, it was just something that I knew, like, you know what I mean? You see your shit and you see the other kids and you're just like,
oh, my shit's way better.
I'm blowing your shit out the water. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah. I knew what was up. Like, I knew
you
I was
knew
like,
you were
all
nice.
Right, like,
yeah.
And then I feel like I started honing in more on it, you know what I mean?
For sure. And then transitioning, I guess, like, out of high school, why did you go to welding before pursuing art?
Shit, because growing up, we used to fuck with cars, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, we would fuck with just all types of, like, cars, imports, and just got into that shit. So I feel like even though I was an artist, I kind of, like, switched over because I liked cars, you know what I mean? So welding and fabricating kind of goes hand in hand because, you know, you can build stuff with that for cars. And I don't know, it's just something about the welding was dope to me because my dad, he used to do that shit. So he would, like, be building these machines that would, like, wind up clothes. I think it would wind up, like, material to make clothes. And then it would, like, chop up the fucking material in, like, sections, and then he would, like, I don't know how, he would, like, wrap it up, and then he would sell it to like, I guess, clothing companies. So that's how I kind of learned the whole, like, fundamentals of fabrication and welding, because that was like his side hustle. And so we had, like, basically like a machine shop in the back of my house. So we would kind of, like, you know, I would do shit there. I would help him out. And then I feel like that's where I got the like, I guess, the love for that shit. Because I did that shit for 7 years. I did a lot of different things from, you know, building ambulances to doing things here in Vegas that are probably still up to this day. So, like, I feel like I've always wanted to leave my mark. And that's just another way, you know what I mean? Especially doing it with my hands.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people would, they might not look at it that way, but tattooing and that are very similar because they're both hands-on.
Yeah, and it's art, too, because, you know, you can make something look very, you know, technically dope. Like, if you know what's up with welding and fabricating, like, you can also appreciate and see when someone does it really good. You know what I mean?
You get creative with it.
Because you'll see, you know, motherfuckers are just, they got to bust out the grinder every time to make their shit look nice. But if you're nice with it, when you're done, you damn near don't have to do nothing. You know what I mean? It just looks clean. It looks nice. You know what I mean? Yeah. So since I'm an artist by nature, I feel like when I was doing that, that's how I would approach everything. And I think that's why I took that shit far too.
Right. And after, what's your relationship with your dad like? Because obviously, for me, like, I have a very similar relationship with my dad where, obviously, he works, like, a manual labor job.
Yeah.
And then that's what I grew up seeing. So, like, growing up, like, you kind of, whether you want to admit it or not, like, it kind of rubs off on you. So, you become good at seeing things in a different way. You get creative. So, are you close to your dad at all?
You know what? Over the years, you know, I'll tap in with him and, you know, for birthdays and things like that. But growing up, he wasn't really there like that. You know, he was always hustling. And then, like, he separated with my mom pretty early, like, probably, like, I would say, like, in my teens. So he would come around, but not like that, because his business was, like, out in L.A., or he would do a lot of his stuff in L.A., which from La Puente is probably like a, I don't know, like maybe 30 minutes, something like that. So it wasn't like I seen him all the time, you know what I mean? So,
right.
But he did teach me a lot, and I feel like a lot of my hustles because of him, because he came and basically had nothing and just had to figure shit out and grind. And, you know, went from, if I'm not mistaken, I hope I don't get this wrong, but I think he was, like, washing cars when he came out here. And then, you know, I don't know how he did it, but he just started grinding. And then I remember just early, like, as a kid, like, he had this, like, bell company. Mm-hmm. And he was making belts. And then from that, he opened up a Salvadorian restaurant, like kind of, like, down, not too far from the bell shop. And then, just from that, just kept kind of like, you know, getting into other stuff with clothing, because I feel like he always was tied in that. And I feel like seeing that, it kind of embedded something in me too, because
you didn't want to work for somebody you knew you could have your own shit.
Yeah, like, I felt like I would never be able to, like, do the 9-to-5 for a long time. Like, I don't know, it's just, I feel like it was never in me, because I've worked, you know, jobs here and there like that early on, and I always felt like I was, like, I don't want to sound like that, but, like, I'm bigger than that, you know what I mean? And for some people, that's cool, you know what I mean? Like, but it's not for everybody.
Because some people like the structure of being like, okay, I'm here 9-to-5, after that I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
But there's other people that they prefer, even if you're probably working more hours than 9-to-5.
Hell,
but
at least, bro, I live.
Yeah.
I live at that fucking shop, like.
But nobody's telling you what to do.
Nobody. Yeah, not at all. So it's like, that's one thing that I enjoy about being an artist. Like, there's times where you eat shit. There's times where, you know, you take a lot of L's being an artist, because nothing's guaranteed. You got to make your own lane. You got to, you know, create your own buzz. You just got to do everything on your own. You know what I mean? So it's like, shit, like, I've seen a lot of artists over the years are just coming up where they kind of plateaued, and then they were okay with that shit. Like, I was never okay with that. Like, I felt like when I would get to a certain bar or to a certain level, I always would try to, like, either reinvent myself or see how the fuck I could, like, just find a way to, even if it was just an inch up, you know what I mean? Like, just a little bit, but just keep going, you know what I mean? So I would always invest in things, or I would find, like, different hustles. Cause I always tell, or, like, I feel like my homies know this, but, like, I'm a tattooer, but I'm a hustler. Like, meaning, like, yeah. I've sold, flipped, fucking done shit. Like, shit. I've done a lot of different things.
So, meaning, like, if you lost the ability to tattoo tomorrow, you would go out there and, like, whatever it takes, you go do it. Yeah.
If for some reason I had to stop doing that, I would figure something out. Like, it's just, that shit's always been in me.
Right. And what are those levels to tattooing? Because I have this conversation a lot with my barber.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to say, like, it's kind of crazy that to be a barber, you have to go to, like, school. But to be a tattoo artist, you just do an apprenticeship. So, like,
there's no school. So, I hate... This subject's kind of, like, different now because I came up, like, in the old school type of way. So, like, I had to, like, earn everything that I learned because now it's like YouTube's fucking everything.
Right.
YouTube University, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't knock it because it helps out for sure, but I feel like that's kind of fucking made the game of tattooing a little different because you got, at least for me, like when I was put into it, it was like, it was changing from what it was, but it was always like dirtbag shit, like bikers and fucking thugs and fucking just like a different crowd, you know what I mean? And
right.
So to be put into that shit or to be able to like really get into the game, like you couldn't be soft, like you couldn't, like, because you know, you would come across people that were fucking just doing crazy shit, you know what I mean? Like bikers and shit like that, you know, if you know that background, especially for if they're like from like a gang or some shit like that, they just move differently and you just gotta like have to learn how to maneuver through that shit. And so the tattoo game was something like, it wasn't for the soft, you know what I mean? And it really taught me a lot because like you make a lot of connections and you're not gonna always like rub everyone the right way, because like I always stood on whatever the fuck with tattooing, and sometimes I feel like some people wouldn't let you do their, you know, do your thing. Or they feel like you're kind of like, I don't know how to say it, like belittling them or some shit. Like, I breathe this shit. I fucking like, this everything to me. So like, I feel like sometimes when you're telling somebody, yeah, that's not going to work or, you know, this and that. Sometimes some people will just kind of say, fuck it and do something that you're like, oh, that's probably going to look like shit or whatever. And they'll just do it anyways. But I've always tried to stand on my shit. And sometimes I feel like some people think that you're just, you're trying to change what they're trying to do, but it's really just, you knowing better. And at least at this point, I feel like I'm like seasoned or I for sure feel like I'm an OG in this shit because I've done it all, you know,
from the bottom all the way.
So like when I'm telling you some shit, it's coming from experience and not like a little bit. I've put in a lot of years and I've traveled the fucking US and I've, you know, seen different fucking cultures, people, got money in different ways, and just, you know, fucking my homies, because we used to tour and travel all over the U.S., we would fucking thug it out and be like fucking sardines in a Motel 6 type shit, you know what I mean? Just trying to, you know, save money because,
by any means,
you know, necessary. By any means, like, it's like, do you want to spend and you know, spend like $350 on a room for the weekend, or you want to thug it out and maybe, you know, spend $40 and then have that much more to like do whatever the fuck you're doing or to reinvest, you know what I mean? Because it's like, for artists, it's always investing in yourself, you know what I mean? So you always have to be on that shit. And if you're not, it'll show, or at least from what I see, because I see a lot of dudes that like they done fell off or they just like real mediocre, you know what I mean? I was always on some like fucking trying to figure shit out, like trying to see how I could get more people to see what I was doing. So that's why I started traveling, because it's like, you know, you can be cool and be the man in your city, that's cool, but like
you gotta come test yourself,
you know what I mean? Like you gotta try to get out there and really like try to make a name for yourself in different cities, because shit, if you do it long enough, you can touch down and have a bag waiting for you in any city. And it's like, and I feel like at one point, you know, when I was doing it like heavy, I could damn near just, you know, hit up people anywhere or just put a post up and be like, hey, I'm gonna be in Philly, hey, I'm gonna be in Baltimore, hey, I'm gonna be in fucking Hawaii, I'm gonna be in Oregon, wherever the fuck it may be. Like, I feel like over time, I just built up a clientele enough to where my work speaks for itself. So it's like, I would put it out there and you know, maybe I put some money behind a post or some shit and, you know, I'll book the weekend out or, you know, close to it. And then whatever else I would get at the show, like as far as like walk-ups, it would be just like a plus, you know what I mean?
Right. I want to break that down a little bit. So I talked with my barber a lot about this. And when you go to the barbershop, or like barbering is kind of getting to that level now because of social media. So when you go to the shop, right, there's the guys that, you know, they clock in, they're there 9 to 5, they do some walk-ins, they do their usual clientele, they go home, that's it. Yeah. But then you have, like, the barbers that they're documenting their work, they're taking pictures, you know, they're trying to network with people, they're trying to level up, and I see tattooing a lot as the same. So I always tell them, I'm like, whether you have a shop or not, if you're a tattoo artist, you are a business. You yourself are a business. And if you don't put in the work to market yourself, to network, to invest, to learn new skills, to maybe collab with other artists, all that money, you're leaving it on the table.
Yeah.
Am I like saying it right?
Yeah. Like, you're going to get, this was told to me like years ago. It's like, whatever you put into tattooing, tattooing is going to give it back to you. You know what I mean? So it's like, fuck, man, tattooing has took me to places I thought I would never fucking go and have connections. It's fucking insane. But it's because I feel like we're looked up to in a way that's like, because it's not easy to do this shit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's no reset button. You know, you're doing intimate things. Like, you know, it's just, you do portraits of, like, you know, people that have passed, or just doing names of dead homies. Like, it's just a lot of crazy shit that you see, and you hear a lot of crazy stories too. Like, some shit that, you know, it's fucking crazy and deep, and you're just like, man, I don't know how the fuck they got through that type of shit. Like,
can you share some of the stories like that for the viewers? Cause I feel like being in whatever, like the chair or whoever's in your shop, like, you sometimes got to be like their therapist.
Yeah,
they're opening up, right?
If it's one thing, I'm like a hood therapist, basically. For sure. I got clients that, especially girls, like, they'll hit me up only when they're going through it with whoever the fuck they're fucking with. Damn. At the time. It's like, they need to get that itch, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's crazy that it works like that. But tattooing and tattoos, it's like therapeutic in a way, you know what I mean? Because it's like, you're going through that pain, but I feel like that releases, you know, maybe some of the tension or maybe some of the pain that you're going through, you know what I mean? Because, like I said, I will put it like this. I have had the honor to, like, you know, put names of people on, you know, even if it ain't famous people, just, like, people that are respected, or, you know what I mean, that, you know, they're somebody of stature, so, like, I try to take all that shit real serious, and sometimes people be like, when I tell them the price, they're like, oh, you know, that's too much, or oh, this dude will do it cheaper, or why so much? But
go over there, then.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's more of like, I respect what I do to the levels of, like, I'm trying to just give you, you know, the best shit that I can, you know what I mean? So I'm all in, so... And I've been doing it for a long time. So when I'm doing these names or a face, whatever the fuck it is, I really try to do my best. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, there's no point in doing some shit mediocre. And I see a lot of artists do that shit too, where, like, they just, maybe they're, you know, they're going through some shit, and you know, on their personal level, you know what I mean? And then they come to work and it kind of shows, or they're just like in a grumpy ass mood and things like that. And sometimes even that energy will rub off on other artists. So
right.
I always try to tell people, when you come through the doors, just, you know, leave that shit at the door. Cause you know, you might be going through some shit, but there's somebody else that might be going through some shit that's worse. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, they might've just lost their mom, you know, to cancer, or, you know, their homie just passed away from, like, a fucking drive-by or whatever the fuck. Like, I have a pretty big clientele of, like, people who do music. So, like, the stories I hear is just a trip sometimes, and just...
Can you share some of the stories that you've heard? Like, some of the ones that have, like, touch you the most that you're like, damn, this shit's fucking rough?
Damn. Well, there's stuff, too, that even ain't really connected like that. Because I really don't want to talk too much on, like, anything like street stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know like, what I mean? But I mean, like, more like sentimental stuff.
Yeah, like yeah, so there was a time where it was just brought to my attention, and I feel like I felt like I had to do something. So like it was out here actually, like so a family, I guess they were having like a barbecue or something, or they were having a get together.
Right.
And they had one of those like deep fryers, you know what I'm talking about? Like for the turkeys where you just dunk that shit in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I guess somehow they dropped that shit. So they were cooking and it dropped. And when it dropped, it like spread. You know what I mean? Like if you ever, you know, if you drop a bucket, that shit just goes. Yeah, you know what I mean? So when they did that, it like dropped. And if I'm not mistaken, that shit went to the staircase. So when that shit dropped, the fire went boom. It went like to the staircase and then went up. And there was for sure. And there was like, there was kids up there.
Fuck.
So when that shit happened, the mom and dad, I guess they were like, fuck that shit. Even though it was like, you know, there was a lot of fire.
Yeah.
They went through that motherfucker to go get their kids, bro. And the kids survived, but the mom and dad, they passed away.
Fuck.
So damn, bro. Like when I heard that shit fucked me up. So I remember I never put it up, or I don't think I might have put up a post saying like just to come down and just like support, but I'm not the type like to just like record shit. So
yeah, yeah.
Long story short, like I just did like a little thing where people could come in and get a tattoo, and whatever the fuck I did in that day, I just ended up giving it to the family to help out, because I don't know, something in me just tell me like they need help. And I remember, I think they were trying to do something, because back then I don't even think there was even like the GoFundMes or whatever, you know what I mean? Like all that stuff. So, yeah, that shit was something that I was like, man, that shit's crazy, because, you know, you don't really hear, that's some shit you hear out of a movie or some shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Bro, that's crazy. I never heard about that.
Yeah, and after that I was just like, damn, that shit's crazy. Like, and that's like just one of many different stories, you know what I mean? But that one did, like, touch me. Because I've never done any type of thing like that for anyone else. But to have, you know, your kids be up there and that really shows, like, the love of, like, a parent, you know what I mean? To basically die.
Sacrifice themselves, yeah.
You know, to save your kids. So that shit just was crazy.
Yeah. But let's flip the switch a little bit.
Yeah,
because I feel like I don't want it to get too negative.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, tattooing has taken you to a lot of places. You mentioned it's taking you to places you've never would have thought you would have went.
Yeah.
What are some of those places?
Shit, I would say almost all the U.S. So some of the ones that I would say I liked would, you know, be Hawaii, Miami, Oregon. Some parts of like SoCal, shit, I'm really trying to think, like Texas, I would say every major city that is more popular when you mention it, you know what it is, like,
yeah.
I feel like I've done either the major ones or multiple cities in those states.
Damn.
And for a lot of years, so like some of those places I've gone like 5, 6, you know, even 7 times, like, and it's crazy because, like, you know, if you've only been in one city and you haven't really traveled like that, you wouldn't understand, but it's just crazy, like, because I've gone to places where, like, we're doing the show and everyone has, like, fucking boots and a big-ass 10-gallon hat and, like,
Texas shit.
Yeah, like, yeah. And, like, you're sticking out like a sore thumb, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, I remember one show, it was mad small, and they were looking for black and gray artists, so we were, you know, we had a booth there, and they literally walked around the whole show, and we literally were the only booth that did that shit, so they had to come to us, so we, you know, we ran it up, because it was like, there was no other option.
Black and white.
So, you know what I mean? If I'm going out of town, it's different. I'm trying to get it. Like, I'm not over here trying to, I don't wanna say it like that, but I ain't trying to hook no one up. I'm invested, you know what I mean? Like flights, rooms, you know, whatever. Food, the everything. Booth, yeah. Whatever the fuck it may be. Yeah, so like it's just a trip to see, cause like it'll go from that to a show where it's like 1,000 booths. You know, I feel like, I think Philly is like 1,000 booths, if I'm not mistaken. And it's like when they're coming up to the booth, you have like one opportunity, because if not, they'll be like, yeah, I'm gonna come back. You'll never see them again because it's such a big show. They're not gonna come back. You know what I mean? Like there's no way. It's so big, they'll get lost. So it's like.
And what are these shows?
So they're tattoo conventions, right? So like, basically, you buy a booth.
Like sneaker, trying to paint it for the people, but it's like, like Sneaker Con, like Comic Con, like all these big conferences, events.
So it's a place to show your, you know, basically to show out. So it's like you're putting out your portfolio so they can see what you do. And then, you know, so it'd be like a, you know, like a table in front. You usually would put like your portfolio, business cards, whatever the fuck you're selling, maybe flash or whatever. And then behind you would be like your, you know, like your banner, kind of like that. So it would, like, I would have that up, or, you know, depending on, like, if I was doing it with, like, a couple homies, then it would be something different. Because obviously, if it's with homies, you don't really want to put your business, right. You know what I mean? You kind of want to put you, you know what I mean? Because, you know, you're going with other people. Right. It's like, it's not like stepping on toes, but it's kind of like, you want to be more of, like, it's a different vibe when it's with homies, so.
For sure.
But you would set up your booth, and then, you know, people come in and they just get to walk around, and it basically gives them an opportunity to be able to get tattooed then and there, instead of like maybe waiting, you know, 6 months, or sometimes like a famous artist that's coming from, let's say, Japan or from London or somewhere far away. They're coming and they might not even have anything booked out because they just want to do walk-ups. So you get the opportunity to, you know, get some work done by somebody dope from, you know, the other side of the world. You know what I mean? So it's a dope atmosphere because, like, there's alcohol, there's music, you can buy shit. There's, you know, women. It's a crazy environment, you know.
Everybody's kicking and having a good time.
For sure.
And who are some of your favorite tattoo artists?
Damn. I would say my homies, like that I've made like relationships with, you know what I mean? So it's just like, once you start doing this shit, at some point you kind of, at least me, I stop even paying attention to other people. Like the shit that gets me or gets my attention is how they, you know, how they're hustling, you know what I mean? Like, because I've seen dudes that are not even that good, but they got a hustle in them that'll out-hustle somebody that's, like, fucking 10 times better than them. So, to me, I pay attention to that shit because, like I said, I'm a hustler before anything. So, if I can learn some shit, I'll learn it. Like, I don't give a fuck about the art part when it comes down to it because that's just one thing, because I like I said, I've seen people that are really good, but they don't know how to talk or they don't know how to like sell the tattoo. You know what I mean? So I've seen dudes at conventions. They're just right there with this fucking, you know, mad dog face the whole fucking weekend. And I'm like, yo, like, how the fuck do you think somebody's going to come up to you?
Right.
With something that personal and be like, yeah, you know, I want you to tattoo me, when you look like you don't even want to be there. You know what I mean? So you have to learn how to like get out of that like shell, you know what I mean? Like, you got to be like more talkative, you know. People are just like kind of like walking by, you know what I mean? They're walking by. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to people and they literally will tell me like, damn, you know what, you're the first person that talked to me and I've been walking around this shit for 3 hours. Yeah. I'm like, damn. But it's like that, you know what I mean? Like, it's some shit that comes with that. Like, you got to learn that shit. So,
and that goes back to, like, treating yourself as a business, right?
Yeah.
At the same time, like, I think about it, and I'm like, if I go to a restaurant, I wouldn't want somebody to treat me that way. But then again, it's like, I'm getting food, right? Like, what's the worst that can happen? But with a tattoo, like, you're literally having this on your body forever.
Yeah.
And especially if it's something sentimental or means something to you, you're not obviously not going to go to someone like that's like that, like you said.
It's a vibe. It's like a feeling, you know what I mean? Like, it's something that you're kind of like trusting in them, or you just, you gotta like sell yourself to where they're like, all right, you know, I'm going to allow you to do something permanent on me. You
yeah,
know
what
I'm
saying? Exactly.
It's not that easy. You know what I mean?
So no, absolutely not.
You got to learn how to like have a good mouth. You know what I mean? Like I feel like I have I'm a good talker. You know what I mean? And I've always like, or at least over the years, I've perfected that shit. And that's a big part. Because if you can't sell yourself, it don't matter what the fuck you're doing. You know what I mean?
Like, and also knowing like how to sort of like address, like sell to your customer, because some people don't want to talk a lot. Some people they're yeah. like, I just tattoo me and get me out of here. And then like
yeah.
how you speak to different people.
Yeah, right? some people will come and they're just quiet the whole time.
Yeah.
And then there's some people that they're gonna tell you what the fuck's going on in their life. Yeah. And or you know, some people they'll ask you questions. Sometimes they're like, you know, a closet tattooer type shit. They're like, they want to learn. And
why you shaming like that, my man? You're like, relax, bro.
Yeah. So it's like they want to learn, you know what I mean? So they might just, you know, yeah, they're gonna get that tattoo because they want to, but they want to like maybe pick your brain and early on, like in the early times of tattooing before it got to what it is now, that's how motherfuckers used to do it. That like they would book an appointment maybe, and then they would just ask you questions, you know what I mean? And sometimes, like, people, they wouldn't just give you the info, but if you would get tattooed, it was a lot easier, you know what I mean? Because they're like, all right, you're breaking bread, so, you know, I might tell you some shit. And, you know, those things are priceless because, like, fuck, I don't want to say too much, but, like, tattooing, it pays. Like, it really, you can make a lot of money doing this shit if you take it serious and you really...
Put in
you
know, the hours.
Put right? in the hours. Put in the hustle. You just like you got to live that shit. It ain't a hobby. And sometimes people come in and say that shit, and it's damn near disrespectful because it's like
you can't do it part time.
There's no part time. Yeah. That's a hobby. Tattooing ain't a hobby. It's something that you live. Like it's something that you fucking breathe that shit because it's you're there so much too. You know what I mean? Like I live in that fucking shop. Like there's times. Multiple times where we've tattooed to the motherfucking the sun comes up, you know what I mean?
Man.
And I'll do that shit all the time just because it's like tattooing and getting tattooed, that's like a luxury, so it's like you don't need it. So there's some dudes there that play that fucking make an appointment shit. That shit's cool, but like if I can knock that shit out, even if that means that I'm not gonna be able to have a good day the next day because I'm gonna be feeling like shit because I was up till whatever hours tattooing, I'll just do that shit because you never know. You could have 5 good days and then 5 bad days, or you could have 2 weeks where you ain't doing shit. So it's like you gotta get it. You gotta always basically you gotta when they hit you up, you gotta be ready to get their itch because they'll get that itch of, oh, I want to get some shit, and if you don't do it and you might play that you can't do it right now or this and that, and you're like, oh, you know what, I got this and that going on, or can you do, they'll just go somewhere else.
Yeah, for sure. And
it sucks because sometimes they'll go and get some bullshit down the street or whatever the fuck, but that's just how it is. Like I'm saying, like if they're going through some shit and they want that you know, they want the experience or the release of whatever the fuck they're going through.
Basically serving tattoos.
Yeah, like, it's like they need that shit then and there. Like, they're going through some shit, so you just gotta be there, you know what I mean? And sometimes it'll affect your life, because you might have some fucking dinner you gotta go to through, like, you know, you gotta go do some family shit, or
you were gonna go
to the club or whatever the fuck, and sometimes you just gotta be like, man, alright, fuck it, and you don't live your life to service other people, but that's just part of it. You know what I mean?
Right. And then transitioning out of that, like celebrities, like getting to tattoo artists, getting to tattoo. I saw Devin Haney.
Yeah.
I was in your shop. So, I mean, Devin Haney, he's fighting Ryan Garcia. I don't know if that fight's even going to happen because Ryan Garcia has been tweaking lately.
Yeah.
But
on the web one.
I don't know. What's wrong with him? But... who was like the first person that you tattooed that you were like, oh shit, I'm about to tattoo this guy?
You know what? this, I would say, it was a rapper from the Bay, and one of my homies, he kind of made, he made a play and basically, like, put me in front of him, and, he goes by AP9 from the Mob Figures, so, mm-hmm. I would say, like, that was, like, the Bay's, like, Wu-Tang Clan kind of shit, because, the Jacka came out of there, which I don't know if you know who that is, but he's done shit with, like, Burner, he's a legend for sure in the Bay, he put a lot of people on. He, you know, I feel like without Jacka, there probably wouldn't be no Burner. And there's a lot of other people in that group that did a lot, you know what I mean? So I got to tattoo him. And then I feel like from that, it kind of like started snowballing, because when I would post him up, he had like a big following. So like his fan base started engaging him in, you know, on my page. And then, once I seen that it did something, and like, you know what I mean? It sparked up my page. Then I just started kind of like honing in more on that. And then through him, I met other artists that maybe weren't as known as him. But then eventually I linked up, with another, known, rapper from out that way, which, he goes by Filthy Rich.
Yep.
And, he's actually the one that did the alley-oop for Devin Haney. So
they're all from, Devin Haney's from the Bay
too. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So like, you know, just being solid and being cool and, you know, being a good person, I feel like that shit goes a long way with people that are like, you know, they're I would say street affiliated, because a lot of them, they go off of like that shit, you know what I mean? If you're just like, your name's cool, you know, you're not on no weird shit, and you just know how to carry yourself, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And we were talking about that a little bit before we turned the cameras on, but just the fact that, you were telling me how, like, it wasn't always easy, right? You would have to grind. Obviously, you touched on earlier this interview about, you know, sleeping in a Motel 6, but you were driving a Camry? An Accord, you said, right?
Like a hoopty ass Accord.
Yeah. Around a
country. That motherfucker had, like, duct tape on the bumper.
Yeah.
I think they had stole my fucking car, and I had to just fucking,
you know. Found one? Like,
so they stole my car, and then I had to just find some shit to get around. And yeah. I remember, I think my dad shot me some cash. It was just like so quick that it happened, you know what I mean? And then I found this little hoopty, and yeah, that shit went everywhere, bro. I think that motherfucker, when I sold it, it had probably damn near close to 400,000 miles.
God, yeah, that's a Honda ad right there.
Yeah, for real. Fucking them Hondas, you just put gas in oil, bro. Them motherfuckers keep going
forever.
That shit, I went on a run. So like, it was like, I think Arizona, and then from that shit, we went to fucking Oregon. And mind you, Oregon, I think it was Portland from Vegas. Like, what is that?
12, like 14 hours. Something
yeah,
like that.
Bro. And I just, I didn't know if it wasn't even going to make it. You know what I mean? Like, it was a hoopty.
Yeah,
so it was like, I just kind of crossed my fingers and, you know.
If you get stuck between Vegas and Reno, there's nothing there.
Yeah,
so, So it's like,
for sure.
Yeah, it ain't like driving somewhere else.
Yeah, that was a Hail Mary play for sure.
Yeah, hell yeah. But it worked out. And we were talking about that specifically where a lot of the times, right, whether you're religious or you're not, whatever you attribute it to, it always plays out that way where if you do the right thing, and you're not trying to get over on nobody, you keep your name clean, sure, and you work your ass off, it always pays off.
Hell yeah.
Somehow, it might not pay off early, it might take a little extra work, but somehow, some way, it always works out for you.
Yep. And you might have to fucking, you know, be hitting that dollar menu, or, you know, you might have to roll in that fucking hoopty with duct tape on the bumper, but I never gave a fuck about shit like that. Like, I know that shit all comes with time, and that don't make you, like, I know some people think that shit, but like, I don't, things like that, I don't really give a fuck about. Like, I like, you know, I like wearing nice things and things like that, but like at the end of the day, you know, I've had real good friends that really don't have shit like that, you know what I mean? But they're solid, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's never been something that I judge people on, you know what I mean? Like, I always fuck with people. if they're just real solid and that I could trust. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, because those are hard to find.
And that's why I feel like a lot of people fuck with me, because
you're the same way.
I'm, you know, my name's cool out here. I don't do no weird shit. I feel like I've helped out a lot of people to get to money, because, you know what I mean? Like, I've always been taught that shit. Like, once you can help people out, do that shit, because it's gonna come back to you. And like, why the fuck, if you're doing all this shit, why aren't you gonna leave it for somebody else to be able to try to do it too? You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. And that gatekeeping culture, I guess it was big back then, like you were saying. People didn't
want to put it on. Fuck yeah, it was, because it was such a sacred thing. And I feel like early on, like the real OGs from back in the day, they kind of knew that eventually that shit, you know, you can only hold that shit for so long. And I don't feel like it was on some hater shit. I feel like they just knew
what was coming. That's just how it was, right?
Because now every motherfucker is a tattooer. Like, yeah, it's just what it is. And, you know, I feel like because they don't come from the OG type of background, the way they do shit is just like, I don't know, like they don't got, I wouldn't say honor, but you know what I mean? Like, there's certain things that you just kind of got to hold from what was back then to now that kind of gives it like, I don't know, like it makes it like more respected, you know what I mean? Yeah, like I see dudes are just like, they just do their clients foul. They're trying to fuck on everybody. Like, just certain things like that's cool if you want to do that shit, but I don't know, I'd rather be on that money shit. I ain't, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I could probably use my title to try to be on some whole shit or whatever and try to like be fucking everything. But I always tell people like, yo, like,
have you ever? Don't avoid. No, just
kidding. No. Like, that shit, it does help, but the way I'm saying, what I'm saying,
like,
is, I'd rather make money off somebody than you know, smash them now it's awkward. I've never gave no free work.
So it's like, if it happens, it happens, but like, you're not using it to go out of your way to get there, right?
Yeah, because exactly. Some people, I feel like they use that shit on some like, oh, I'm a cool guy and I'm a fucking, know what I mean? Like, I've never been like that. Like, I feel like that shit just comes. Like, if you're really a cool guy, it'll just come, right? It just happens, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm not ever trying to push that shit, you know what I mean? Like, I'm fucking whatever. Like, I feel like that shit's just in you.
Right. And what? How many tattoos do you have?
I don't have two. Like, you know what? I don't have too many, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like this year I've been trying to maybe get in with some of my homies, but it's hard, you know what I mean? It's hard to get in with them because they're grinding too, and they're kind of on the same tip that I'm on, so it's like hard. But I do want to try to get some more shit this year for sure.
And what are your favorite styles, like, for you personally?
For me, I like photorealism and lettering.
And why is that?
I feel like it just, you can do anything with it, you know what I mean? You could paint a picture all the way, you know what I mean? And like, I feel like lettering too, like, you could tell a story or just, it's something bold. Like, if the words, you know, they say a certain thing and they're on a certain part of the body, or it just, like, I don't know, it just, like, tattoos can make somebody into something else for sure.
Yeah. What's the hardest transformation you've seen, like, from a tattoo? Like, someone turning into something completely different based on, like, one tattoo.
Damn, I've seen people just fucking blast their whole body or fucking blast their eyeballs black.
Damn.
There's this dude, he goes by Crazy Ruben, and you know, he was like he still is a tattoo collector, and I'll say it vaguely because I don't know exactly what his case or anything of that, because if I'm not mistaken, he's in prison right now. But so he was a collector, and then he just kind of went all in. And I remember, I think before he went all the way in, I think maybe it was like his chin or something, he basically blasted his whole fucking face like a skull, like, kind of like a Day of the Dead type shit, but really like detailed. And I think it had like the Aztec stuff on the side, like, you know what I mean, where it kind of looks like the like the Versace type stuff,
like the Medusa
very head. Very detailed, and yeah, that was crazy because he just transformed into a whole other person, and you know, that's a crazy commitment. You know what I mean? Because like in here, you know what I mean? Like it's just like jet black.
Damn.
To just feel. Right here, it's very delicate.
Soft, yeah.
You know, to sit there and just get fucking hit like that, that's like a commitment, you know what I mean? So, I remember he was telling me, he's like, the dude that was doing it, he's like, he basically said, you know, if you show up, I'll do it, but if not, don't ask me to do it again. Because obviously, at the end of the day, they're doing something permanent like that. So, it's kind of like... They feel somewhat, like, responsible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they were on, like, I guess, I remember he was telling me, like, oh, nah, that he was saying, I don't want to do it, and he was persistent, and then eventually he was just like, you know what, here's a date, if you show up, I'll do it.
Damn.
And I think that was in New York, like, we just, I met him, and then I think we went and just got a drink downstairs at the bar, and that's when he was telling me all that shit. And I was like, damn, you're really gonna go through with it? And he was like, yeah, and part of me was like, nah, you know what I mean, like, hell no. Nah. But he ended up doing that shit, and he looks crazy, bro. But it looks good though. The work looks crazy.
Yeah,
it's good.
And so by tattoo collector, you mean someone that, like, they'll get tattoos from different people?
Yeah, like, you know, they're just collecting from, you know, a lot of times from, like, famous artists, you know what
right
I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And on the business side, obviously you have a shop now, so yeah. Tell the people a little bit about how that started, like going from just being an artist to like running a shop, because obviously there's like a different set of skills that are necessary. You have to do a lot more jobs, it's a lot more involved. So what was that process like?
Yeah, so like most of us, we start off as like a, you know, self-contracted, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You're your own person, so you kind of do your own thing. And then, you know, eventually, if you want to go that route, because not everyone does it, you know what I mean? Some, they just like to be an employee, and some, you know, eventually they want to just kind of do their own thing and, you know, open up their own spot. So I started off, like, you know, I apprenticed in a shop, and then... I remember that didn't work out. So I ended up having to dip there. And then I ended up finishing my apprenticeship at like a street shop, which I feel like it's probably one of the first on the strip, if I'm not mistaken. So you know where Pawn Stars is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, next to it, they kind of made like some container thing.
Container park.
And they have like a bar, restaurant, or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So that shit before used to be this like an old building, and it had a little small tattoo shop in there. So that was the first tattoo shop that I worked at.
No
in,
shit.
In Vegas as like a tattooer on my own. And then like from that, I went to, they like moved to a spot like on close to like Charleston and close to like the Las Vegas Boulevard, basically, like okay. Down the road from there.
Yeah.
And then I worked there, I would say for like a year, because I wanted to just be in a street shop, you know what I mean? Just to kind of like see how the, you know, get the, like learn the ropes, you know what I mean? Like
right.
On how that shit is, because that's different from like a, like more of a, I wouldn't say private studio, but like something that's not so like walk-in friendly, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So then from there, I ended up helping open up another shop out here in Vegas, and I was there for a good amount of years, if I'm maybe like 4 or 5 years. Fuck, it's been a minute, so I forget. But like, I was there for a good amount of years, and then I ended up leaving there, and me and one of my homies opened up like a private studio, like a by appointment only mm-hmm. studio, and it kind of made sense at the time because. I was traveling a grip, like at that point I was doing the convention thing, and sometimes I would do 3 shows in 1 month, you know what I mean? So I would like, I would probably come back like for 1 day and I'd shoot out to another state, and then, you know, be out there and then another, and then come back and go to another one, and then go to another one. So like, it didn't make sense to have like a like a walk-in type of setup because I was never there.
Right.
And at the time, I didn't have really... I wasn't trying to do it all the way like that because that obviously comes with like employees and things like that. So it made sense. I would come into town, knock out my appointments that I had stacked up, and then I was back out on the road. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Basically like getting my name out there.
Right. And then what inspired you to be like, all right, I'm done with those shows. I'm done going on the road. Obviously, you probably still go on the road for certain occasions, but what inspired you to finally be like, okay, now it's time to open up my own?
Well, what a lot of people I see out here doing is, like, they'll fucking tattoo for, like, a year, and then they're, like, opening up a shop.
Damn.
That's cool, I guess, but to really be able to, like, flourish and I feel like really even have respect, because even that I feel like is going down the drain, like, but to be respected, I feel like you got to put in that work.
Yeah.
And you got to pay your dues, you know what I mean? Like, it's a different time, but, like, I was always told, like, you got to, you know, basically, if you can do everything that's coming through that door, then you've earned the right to open up a shop, you know what I mean? And it doesn't have to be, like, you know, because some dudes, they do traditional work, you know, so they might not do portraits or they might not do lettering.
Right.
And vice versa, you know what I mean? So it's like, whatever your shop is, as long as you can do everything that you're trying to do out of there, then I feel like, yeah, you know, open up a shop. But there's dudes that they fucking suck and they're opening shops. You know, they're opening up shops and it's fucked up because, you know, they're almost like learning on people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then like, I don't know, like, I feel like that's the part that I feel like people should respect the game more. You know what I mean? Because it's a serious thing. It's like you're doing something permanent. So it's like, respect that shit. Don't just fucking be thinking you're just gonna like use people as guinea pigs, you know what I mean? Right. We all do it in the beginning, but when you're opening up a shop, that's different, you know?
Right, exactly. Because like then you're like, you're basically advertising that you know how to do it, exactly. But you don't know how to do it.
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And how, what would you say sets your shop apart from other shops?
What sets our shop apart from others is just, I feel like, one, the experience, the vibe, like, our shop don't really look like most shops. I feel like a lot still kind of have like that, I would say like carnival vibe, like, you know, like, and I'm not knocking anyone. There's no disrespect. I'm just, you asked that question, so I'm going to answer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, checkered floors or, you know, sometimes just flash, you know what I mean? Just like a grip of flash, meaning like collages of tattoo designs, yeah, and things, yeah, like, yeah, that, like
just like pictures everywhere.
Yeah,
the walls,
so
are red and shit.
I feel like we have some of that stuff too, but it's like more a mixture of other stuff, like different type of art. And then just when I built the shop out, I wanted to make it look more like a high end spot, like, you know, high baseboards and crown molding and marble top, you know, epoxy floors and
a little more luxury.
You know what I mean? Yeah, just like something that when you walk in, you know what time it is. You know what I mean? It's not like some fucking $10 bullshit or whatever the fuck be happening out here. And just something that it looks like motherfuckers are really trying. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. And along with the tattoos, obviously you mentioned before the camera's on, but we'll go ahead and touch on it again. You played the drums for a long time since you were a kid.
Yeah, I would say since probably like somewhere around 15 or some shit like that. Because growing up out there, you know, there was a lot of people that were in our neighborhood, and a couple of the homies, they were punkers. Like, and I feel like out here it's not like that.
Yeah.
But in SoCal, like, the punk scene is like big.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So like, in the SGV especially, so, you know, just growing up in that neighborhood, like, the homies were punkers, and I was just always drawn to that shit because of the music, and they basically, like, were, like, fuck the system type shit, like, fuck, and I'm always for that, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Tattooers, we're like fucking pirates, so it's like, that shit resonated, yeah, to me, like, hell yeah, you know, fuck everyone, you know, fuck everyone type shit, so it's like, I like that. And then I was always the younger one, so my homies would be doing like backyard gigs, or they would be playing at like a bar or whatever the fuck. And I was, the bars, I would never really be able to get in like that until later on. But, you know, we would be in backyard gigs and drinking fucking 40s and getting fucked up. And I feel like that's where I really fell in love more with music, because they were my homies and they were just like playing, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's, to be introduced to music like that is different, you know what I mean? Because it's like, they're just, you know, they're doing it because they like it. I'm in the punk scene, I don't want to say it like that, but like, I don't feel like they're like, we're going to make it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's really hard because that scene's like not so mainstream, you know what I mean?
It's just
so,
for the love of the music.
Yeah. And, you know, they would dress like that. You know, motherfuckers would have, like, fucking, you know...
The big-ass mohawks.
Yeah, like, the mohawks, spiky fucking, shit. You know, docks. And it's crazy because we, over the years, we would have, like, a good relationship. So, like, you know, sometimes we would even play football or some shit. And it would be like the cholos versus the punkers. That's how they would...
What kind of misfit-ass football game is that?
Yeah, so, like... one of my homies, he kind of like put me on to the drums because he played it. And then through him, I met other homies that, you know, he played the drums too, but he would do like a lot of like metal and shit like that, death metal. And he went to the Music Institute in Hollywood. So like, he was more technical. So like, it just sparked something in me. So I was like, man, I fuck with this shit. And I remember getting a set from one of my homies, and it just started from there. I'm pretty sure I sucked in the beginning, but eventually I picked it up, and you know, I learned all types of styles, like obviously punk, because that's like where I was learning from them, and then hip hop, jazz, fucking metal, all that shit, just because I was trying to learn everything. I was just right. It was interesting to me.
It's like tattooing. All
yeah,
styles,
yeah. Right? So that's how I kind of got into that. And I feel like that's kind of where I got more involved in the music thing, because I was around it all the time. You know what I mean?
Right. So we'll pop up a picture of you with the mohawk on the screen right now. Nah, but...
Damn. You know, it's funny. If we looked...
We'd find it?
Damn. Maybe at one point I was out here, I was like, I forgot. Somebody dared me to do that shit and I did it, but... I don't think you'd be able to find it now. I'm pretty sure I deleted all that shit.
It's long gone.
Yeah.
But recently you've been taking music a little more seriously. Would you say like that's kind of an avenue you want to explore more business-wise and also hobby-wise, because obviously you love music?
Yeah, because... So I did the tattoo thing and I still do it, but I feel like, you know, I'm always trying to look for the next thing. So like, you know, I got into tattooing, and then from that, I got into laser tattoo removal as well. So during the pandemic, when the city was basically down, you know, it was fucked up for us because we basically got shut down.
Right, yeah, you can't work.
And we couldn't work, but you know what I mean? At the end of, like I said, tattooers are fucking pirates, so I really didn't give a fuck. And I fucking put like paper up on the fucking window, and... I wasn't tattooing everybody, but at least my people that I fucked with and that fucked with me and that weren't scared of all that shit that was going on. And, you know, I was still thugging it out and getting by, you know what I mean? And
yeah, then,
you know, everyone had money, so I was able to run that shit the fuck up, like, big time. And a lot of people, you know, they fucking burned through that money and were, you know, fucking... buying designer and fucking chains and everything that everyone was doing, which is cool, you know what I mean? I'm sure it was fun, but like, I kind of knew that it was going to come to an end, so.
But someone out there has a whole back piece because of that stimulus.
Hell yeah, fucking everywhere, you know what I mean? Like, all body parts. But, yeah, me and my brother, I remember he had come over just one day to like, I was going to tattoo him, and then... You know, I got some walk-ins, and then, you know, I was like, hey, you want to bang one out? He was like, fuck it. He did that. And literally the next day, I think we lined up something for the next day. And in that time, like I said, everyone had money. And it got to the point where fucking he never left because it was so fucking crazy. Just
every day.
It was every day fucking till like past 3 in the morning every Dang. Fucking day. And like I said, like at least me, my brother, and some of the people I fuck with, we just, you know, we go till the fucking wheels fall off. Some artists, they're cool with the like, you know, 12 to 8 shit or 12 to 6, and they go about their life after. Like with me, I'm just, I'm not wired like that. I'll go till, you know, there's no one in the shop. You right. know what I mean? It's just what it is. Cause like I said, you never know. You know what I mean? You never know what tomorrow brings.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to make sure I get every fucking dollar. Like this is how it is.
Absolutely.
And you know, not everyone's like that, but I promise you, if you are, you're going to see a lot more and you're going to do a lot more.
Right. And now the music thing, where do you want to take that?
You know what? I'm focusing on that right now just to kind of like learn all that. We're actually in one of my buddies' studios right now. I just felt like, you know, it's going to bring a little different vibe from, the other interviews that I've seen you've done.
Absolutely.
Hopefully, you know, people, you know, it makes people kind of want to like, you know, chime in or look into this shit just cause you know, when they're scrolling on your shit, it's going to look a little different. But I've always had love for music, so I want to hopefully be able to get to the point where I can open up a studio and just have another hustle on my belt. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that I feel like I'm passionate with too, just because I'm musically inclined, and you know, if I could record other people and you know, be able to help other people, you know, put their music out, why not? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And also, like, being in that environment, like you were talking about, music and tattooing are so similar that a lot of the skills will transfer over.
Obviously. Yeah, for sure. And then it's just like, I really resonate with like artists, you know what I mean? Because they're real similar to us. Like, it's like nothing's promised. You got to put all that work in to get somewhere. And there's a lot of investing that goes on. There's just a lot that's real similar to a tattoo artist. So I've always like, I don't know, I've always like had a good connection, and I feel like them as well. Like, I feel like a lot of the connections I've done is because, you know, we genuinely, those two things really, like, they're real similar.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you, first of all, letting us come into the studio, setting all this up, and then I appreciate you coming on our platform and sharing your story. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, for sure. And if you guys ever need any studio time, come and check out my homie Remix. We'll make sure to put the link for his shit too in this.
Absolutely. Where could they find him on social media?
So all it's right. Remix LV Mafia. And once again, thank you for having us, because you know what I mean, we just wanted to bring something different, so thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Shout out to the homie. And for everybody that doesn't know, where could they tap in with you, both your personal and the shop?
So my personal is it's at @sick1_tattoos. It's SICKONE_tattoos, TATTOOS. And then the shop one is the same thing, just no underscore.
Alright guys, thank y'all so much for listening to this episode, man. Hope you guys enjoyed. If you did, go ahead and like, comment, subscribe, man. Go tap in with Sick Ones, Sick Ones Tattoo. And also shout out to Remix LV Mafia for letting us come into the studio. We'll see y'all next week for another episode, man. Peace.